Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room post-game podcast. Ryan Green, Rob Misch. These are probably going to start getting shorter and shorter every week because it's really just becoming more of the same, so why just hear ourselves talk? That pretty much sums it up if you were a UNLV fan in the stands tonight. It was loud at Sam Boyd Stadium, but that was because there were so many Utah fans there. Utah comes into Sam Boyd Stadium and keeps itself very much a player in the race for the Mountain West title, defeating UNLV 35-15 in a game that was close for a good amount of time, but, you know, really with the way UNLV was executing offensively, never really was that close.
You're being kind. The floodgates kind of opened in the second quarter, and it was kind of academic from there on. 26,000 plus, how much of that do you think was Utah Red?
15. Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Just by the way it sounded, heck, even Utah's band that traveled for the game performed on the field beforehand. I mean, it had the feel of a game up at Rice-Eccles Stadium for the most part, and Utah treated it as such. Utah, a team that had struggled on the road a lot this season, you know, they had their struggles early on in the first half, turned it over on their first play on their first offensive snap, but, you know, UNLV really just handed the gifts right back to them. Utah fumbled the ball 5 times, UNLV recovered 2 of them, but at the end of the day, what told the story for the Rebels, 4 of 6 in the red zone, only 1 touchdown in 6 trips into the red zone, and you're just not going to win doing that, especially, plain and simple, you're not going to win doing that.
Yeah, that's tough. That's your own worst enemy when that happens. And you know what? It's just a season of mistakes, and it just continue. You know, if it's not going to be that, it's going to be something else. And poor UNLV football fans.
And that was exactly what I said in the lead of the game story. Was, you know, for once the defense wasn't to blame. But as has been the story with this team this year, if it's not one thing, it's something else. And As you and me have picked up on in the last few weeks, it just continues to get sloppier and sloppier each week as bowl contention gets further and further away, and now is pretty much gone.
Well,
2-5.
You yourself saw this team start to physically fray during practice this past week when there was a little brouhaha
on Tuesday. Yeah,
little infighting, and you know what? That just about is never a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's one more thing to the to throw in the pot. That's a big old mix of gumbo, jambalaya. I can't even finish the sentence.
Whatever it was, it should have been enough to make me go to the book and take Utah minus 16 and a half, right?
I thought you were going to say it was going to be – you thought it would be enough to make you go to the bathroom like Randall Cunningham did tonight just before exiting the field early in the second quarter.
Yeah, Randall Cunningham was on hand with the 84 team, which went 11-2 and won the California Bowl.
The vaunted California Bowl.
Yeah.
Tell me who they beat.
Toledo?
Yeah.
See, I study my media guide. But you're right, Randall, maybe the greatest football player UNLV has ever produced, actually the greatest football player UNLV has ever produced, was on hand, and you're right, he left at just the right time.
Yeah, I ran him down before he left the stadium, and he talked about, you know, he's not so embarrassed at such, you know, there's been so much losing since he left the program. He said he's not so embarrassed or disappointed. He just feels for the athletes. He feels for the kids, and he wishes more people would embrace the effort they're giving out. I pressed him, asked him about Mike Sanford, and he said no comment, not going there. So it's kind of all you need to know.
Yeah, exactly. And let's go into this one a little bit. We mentioned Utah giving it away right off the bat, but you know, the common theme for UNLV, like we said, getting in the red zone and not scoring and having to rely on field goals. And Rob, I think we got that feeling early in this game that if UNLV couldn't score touchdowns in the red zone, defense wasn't going to be able to hold those floodgates closed forever.
Well, you know, they did a good job containing Terrence Kane, who had been up there in the NCAA charts as far as total yardage. They only allowed him 174 yards through the air. They
22
only
on the ground.
22 on the ground. So, you know, that's you keep him under 200 yards, you're doing something well. But, you know, they didn't pick off any of his 24 passes, so he was very efficient in that category. And the common denominator, again, UNLV gives up a triple-digit performance on the ground to someone. Eddie Wide, Las Vegas' own, rumbles for 111. And as we well documented, that's the 7th time somebody's gone for triple figures this season.
Yeah, and Eddie Wide, the Vegas native from Cimarron Memorial High School. You know, he had the backbreaker was the 37-yard touchdown run in which he slipped the tackle where he probably should have been brought down, but 37-yard touchdown, which made it 35-15 in the second half.
Early in the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter. And UNLV to that point was, boy, they were given, the back door was left just cracked open. UNLV trailed 28-6 at halftime, gets the first shot in on them in the to start the second half. They get a touchdown, don't get the two-point conversion, then wind up with a field goal. Then at 28-15, they have the ball down in Utah territory again, and a botched fake field goal attempt, which was very questionable, going for a fake field goal out of a timeout. And, you know, that was really the last straw. It seemed like Utah at that point on the sideline basically just said, all right, come on, let's put this away already.
Nothing like calling attention to your foe about what might be up your sleeve than calling a timeout.
Right before a field goal attempt, yeah.
Just tough timing all the way around once again, yeah. You know, giving up 100-plus yardage to seven runners so far this season, what's the common theme that you've noticed why that's happened? Is it blocking up front? I mean, is it just shoddy tackling week in and week out, or what's the common denominator?
I think all of that factors in, but the common denominator in each of those performances is shoddy tackling. You know, you look at the Eddie Wide 37-yard touchdown. That's a 5-yard gain if they tackle properly on the edges. You know, and look, you remember all the way back to the game against Oregon State where Jaquiz Rogers broke a couple big ones because of poor tackling. UNR, poor tackling up front. That's been the common theme with all of these. But, you know, if it's not improving by now, you know, is it going to at any point?
Well, on the bright side for Mike Sanford, this is only the fifth loss. Two more, it seems like, from what we've heard from the hierarchy, will get them really concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as soon as they are not bowl eligible, well, then I guess that's when red lights are going to go off. But even if that happens, I don't see anything happening as far as any changes or movement. So, you know, on the bright side, let's look at Utah. They've got things rolling. They seem to have fixed what was ailing them on the road. Nothing like playing at Sam Boyd to do that. And all of a sudden, we're looking at a Utah team that is now undefeated in the league with BYU,
and
with TCU. So, you know, if they can get their act together, they play four more games at home. Their last two on the road are at TCU, at BYU. You know, they beat both those teams at home last year, so it's not like BYU and TCU is going to take Utah lightly. But, you know, if Utah can really get this the dominoes rolling, they play the next three games at home
against very winnable, beatable opponents.
What do you see in maybe their upset bids and winding up in, maybe back here in Vegas?
Yeah, the Vegas Bowl, obviously, potential for them. You know, TCU and BYU, you got to figure if they win one of those two and finish, say they win the rest and go 10-2, I would think they'd be the Las Vegas Bowl candidate. Also because, you know, the Las Vegas Bowl probably doesn't want to have BYU for the fifth straight year. But, you know, TCU, if they went out, probably looking at a potential BCS bid, depending on what Boise does. But, yeah, you know, it's funny because there was all this talk about the depth of the league, but here we are again early in the league, and there's three undefeated teams, and there are no surprises.
Yeah, you know, someday something's going to have to change with the league. You know, they're going to have to add teams. You really can't be taken too seriously as a national contender with a 9-team conference. You know,
the same three winning it every year.
Yeah, it's getting old and redundant, and, you know, it doesn't attract too much national attention. You know, not many people on the East Coast are going to tune into these games, you know, when it's the same thing every year. You know, you really need to get three more teams. We've talked about this before, you know. You need a 12-team league. You need a conference championship game to be taken seriously.
Well, absolutely. And looking forward for UNLV, very interesting situation. 2-5, and they are heading on the road where they are the sole owners of the nation's longest conference road losing streak at 20 games. They go, and oddly enough, they very well could be favored next week as the 2-5 Rebels head to face the 0-6 New Mexico Lobos, who have played only one opponent this year within less than 20 points. A lot of turmoil going on there with first-year head coach Mike Locksley under 10-day suspension following an alleged altercation with an assistant coach. A lot of injuries. They're ravaged. UNLV beat them last year at Sam Boyd pretty handily. Can UNLV go on the road and win?
They better. Mm-hmm. We've talked about must wins before this season. Now this is it. You know, you're looking at you can't lose that game.
No,
you know?
Absolutely not.
At this point right now, you can maybe say that the Halloween game at TCU, yeah, you might not win that, but you better win every other game, you know. Salvaging a 6-6 season would save this coaching staff a whole lot of face, and I don't know if Rebel fans would like that or would not like that, because then you're bowl eligible. Where would you go?
And, you know, you talk about if they win those four games, this is a long shot, of course.
Yes.
Those four games, other than the TCU game, where's a signature win in there? You've got a win over an FCS. Is there a bowl game if you get to 6-6?
Well, you know,
even at this point.
Yeah, and you know what? I shouldn't get too ahead of myself because Colorado State is tough.
Mm-hmm. At Air Force, never easy.
Right. So.
And your Aztecs hung with BYU today.
Put up a whole lot more fight than the Rebels did. So,
yeah.
Heck, you know, maybe this just keeps getting worse.
We're going to have to wait and see, and I think we'll learn a lot next week, because if they don't win next week, I don't even want to imagine what TCU will be like.
Hey, it's hoop season.
Exactly. It's official now, as practices are underway. And for all your hoops coverage, along with football coverage from tonight's game against Utah and beyond, LasVegasSun.com/Rebels. For Rob Misch, we're going to go do that right now. This is Ryan Green. We'll talk to you later in the Rebel Room.